give it to the Lord, and he'll gladly take it from you, and he'll replace that with his love, his peace, his joy. Amen? Why don't we go ahead, let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we come into your most holy presence right now. And we ask you, Father, as your holy presence fills us, let there be fullness of joy. Let your peace just come and just take our minds, take our hearts, take our souls, and let it be filled with your mighty presence. Because love, we know, Lord, is what you give to us. And you gave it in great abundance, and we are ready to receive it all from you. So, Father, we give this time all into your hands. I pray that your word will be spoken mightily through me, as, Father, you will direct me, you will guide me, and as hearts are receiving your words, I pray that there will be great conviction, Lord, that truly hearts will be touched so that we know, Lord, we can be the very image of your Son, Jesus Christ. So, Father, we give it all to you now. In Jesus' name we pray, and all my brothers and sisters say, amen. Praise God. Praise God. Well, if you take a look at your notes today, we're continuing the series. We know we've been doing this for the past several weeks, and it's called Getting to Know Your Spiritual Armor. And we know we've covered already the helmet of what? Helmet of salvation. Then we went on to the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Yeah, you guys been paying attention. And then we have the belt of truth. All right, cool. You guys know it. And today, we're going to be talking about what? Shoes of peace. I'm going to show you this later on, but that's what we're going to be talking about today. Let's read the scripture in Ephesians 6, 14 to 17. Let's read it together. Ready? Go. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place and with the feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And like I told you, we've been going from head to toe. And so we did a helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, belt of truth, right? And we're going to go all the way down to our feet. And first of all, I want to show you what a picture of what an old Roman soldier's shoe may look like. I got this on the internet. Can everyone see that? You can see it's made of leather, right? And it's strapped on very tightly to the feet, okay? And this is what the Roman soldier would wear, right? And you can see the bottom of the sole. It has tacks in it, right? And we'll talk a little bit more of that. And, you know, I couldn't actually find a Roman soldier's shoe. You know, I wanted to find something that looked similar to it. And you know, I went to Ross's. I even went to the women's section, okay? But I couldn't find anything. But the closest I could find, yeah, is my leather Croc shoe. And, you know, I'm going to use this as my model. But you can see some similarity, right, to it. And so, but, you know, this is the closest I can get to using as a model. But, you know, today we will be talking about that, the shoes of peace. Okay, and so here's a question. What are the primary characteristics of the Christian soldier wearing the shoes of peace? Well, number one here, it says the willingness and readiness to go. Everyone say go. Go wherever Jesus goes. And when you got these shoes of peace properly fitted and worn on your feet, you should have a great desire to follow Jesus wherever he leads you. Because sometimes, you know, for a Christian, right, we say, oh, I'm going to go wherever Jesus goes. But then when you tell them, okay, let's go here, let's go there, and let's go serve the Lord. Well, not right now. You know, and but that's the thing, right? When we say we want to follow Jesus, do we really mean it? Because, you know, these shoes should always guide and point you in the direction where Jesus is walking. And it's where Jesus wants you to be. And so that as you actually walk into his very footsteps, guess what? You're going to be doing great and mighty works for the Lord. Amen? Because you got to listen to what the Holy Spirit will tell you to do when it concerns you giving glory to God, when it concerns you being service or giving service to the king. And we know it's so easy to say it, right? I'm going to follow Jesus. Wherever he goes, I'm going to follow him. But, you know, in Luke 9, right, Jesus clearly shows to his disciples, you know what? There are costs. Everyone say costs to really follow Jesus. And there are three kinds of followers, and that's what we're going to find out in Luke 9 today. Let's read that first part in Luke 9, 50, starting at 57. Let's read that together. Ready? Go. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. But Jesus replied, hey, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place even to lay his head. Let's stop right there. Why would Jesus say that? At first, right, you think that disciple had made such a wonderful statement. Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And you would think, right, Jesus would be pleased to hear that and say, that is wonderful, my dear and faithful servant. No, instead, Jesus says, hey, foxes got their dens, birds got their nests, but the Son of Man, yeah, got no place to even lay his head. And what's up with that? Well, first of all, we got to understand that Jesus, when he talks to you or talks to me or talks to anyone for that matter, any of his disciples, where does he look? Right in your heart, right? And so he knows what is going on your heart as you speak to him, as you tell him things, right? And maybe Jesus saw that this particular disciple, right, he was so caught up maybe in the experiences that he was having with him. You know, imagine if you're with Jesus and you're walking around, you're doing, you know, the things he's telling you to do, and you're witnessing all the miracles that's taking place. You see it with your own eyes. You hear the wise words and teachings from Jesus, and you feel his holy presence, and you feel his tender touch. I mean, aren't these things we all want? Aren't these things the very things that we desire as Christians? It's all good. But perhaps Jesus is pointing out to him, hey, child, there may be times you're not going to feel so comfortable. Sometimes you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone, because guess what? There's going to be people that may be hostile. There's going to be situations that may be very unpleasant. But are you willing to go wherever Jesus leads you? Because where he leads you, it may be these very places. And we know we got to stand strong in our faith and say, Lord, you're sending me there. I know you're with me, so Father, I know your work will be done. Because here's the thing, brothers and sisters, when it concerns following Jesus, we should not be concerned about our own comfort. We got to be willing to make sacrifices. We got to trust in God and say, Lord, you want me there? I'm there. I'm just going to believe in you, and I know, Father, you're going to do what you want to do as you send me. So we should not be a comfort follower, because a lot of times, you know, I hear, you know, a believer say, well, I'll go as long as there's something to eat, right? Or imagine a pastor, right, going to a conference and say, I'll speak at your church, okay, as long as you put me up in a luxury hotel, and you got to be three meals you're going to provide for me and the restaurants of my choice, right? And I got to have a car with a driver. You know, sounds ridiculous, but you know what? Believe me, it happens. And as a servant of God, we should say, Lord, just send me, because I want your word to be heard. Doesn't matter about me. It matters about the souls out there that needs to hear your word. That should be our greatest concern, amen? To be a servant of the Lord, we got to really not so be concerned about our comfort, but we got to go out there and say, Lord, you send me, I'm going to give my very best to you. I want you to look at the next one. Let's read verse 59 now. Ready? Go. He said to another person, come, follow me. And the man agreed, but he said, Lord, first let me return home and bury my father. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. You know, at first, right, you read this, right? It may seem to be a legitimate excuse, right? Or a reason you can say this person had, right? Say, I want to bury my father. What's wrong with that? You got to remember again, Jesus is looking at the person's heart. So he knows what is going on. And Jesus gave him an answer to show him, hey, I'm not so pleased with what you said here. And it may seem that Jesus was harsh, but you know, for the person who claims to be a follower of Christ, we got to stop making excuses. And really, when we say, whatever you ask, Lord, it really has to come from your heart and say, Lord, I'm going to do it. You told me this is what I'm called to do. Lord, I'm going to do it. And the one that's willing to follow Jesus should not always be saying, you know, I have to do this today, so Lord, maybe tomorrow I can help you, Lord. Can you imagine? Jesus says, no, I want you to do it right now because there's someone that's hurting, someone who needs prayer. And we have to understand that if we follow him, then we got to go wherever Jesus goes. And this man, he wanted to be what is called a convenient follower. So the first one is a comfort follower. Now we have what is called a convenient follower, where they're not really followers at all, because they will only accompany Jesus when it is convenient, yeah, for them and for their schedule, right? And Jesus was challenging him, right? He says, brother, you got to set your priorities in straight, because if you say you're going to follow me, it's not according to your schedule. It's according to what I call you to do. And here's the thing, brothers and sisters, we know there's going to be times we're going to face issues in life, and they will come. We know they will come. But as Christ's disciples, we got to ask Jesus, okay, what should I do now, Lord? Instead of saying, okay, I got this issue, I got this problem. Okay, whatever I have to do in church or for the Lord, forget about it. I'm going to go do what I have to do to take care of my situation. You know, in this case, the man could have asked Jesus, Lord, how should I care for my dead father? You know, instead of just dropping it, just like saying, you know, it's not important anymore. It should be, say, Lord, now I have this situation. What do you want me to do? And we got to listen to what God will speak to us about how we should take care of this certain matter. Because otherwise, it shows that it's not of importance to you. Amen? Because it should be the greatest importance. Whatever we do unto the Lord, we're doing it for the King. We're doing it for our Lord, because we call him Lord. In other words, we call him Master. Should we give first priority to him? I think so. Because if we do, guess what? God's going to take care of every other situation in your life. He will. So that you can serve him wholeheartedly. Amen? And God will always bring his best when you do this. Well, let's look at the third one. At verse 61. Read that with me. Ready? Go. Another said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say goodbye to my family. And Jesus told him, hey, anyone who puts a hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. And it appears right from Jesus' response to him that this disciple would allow little things to distract him. Because what's wrong, first of all, with saying goodbye to your family? Nothing wrong with that, right? But remember, once again, Jesus is looking at the person's heart. Notice how this person, he says, but first, let me. You know what he was doing? He was making bargains with the master. You know, it's right at that point where Jesus says, come and follow me. And immediately, he gives an excuse, right? He says, wait, let me say goodbye to my family first. And he's making bargains with the master. You know, and sometimes, you know, it's okay just to say, okay, family, I'm going to follow Jesus, right? It seems okay, but when we constantly make excuses, oh, but I got to do this. Oh, I got to stay with my dog because my dog looks kind of sad, so I'm not going to church today. It sounds funny, right? But I'm going to tell you, I heard that before. I'm not kidding you. I'm not going to church today because my dog looks a little depressed. Okay, and you know, I'm just saying, when we realize what our priorities are, we put Jesus first. I'm going to say it again. God's going to take care of every other situation in your life. He will, because he wants you to give your very best to him. So as you ask the Lord, I guarantee you, I know that's what he's done for me, where he's taking care of the situations that I may have so that I can give my best to him. Amen? And that's what we all must do. And you know that God, he will not let you down. And we got to understand, the problem is that This man, right, was really looking for an excuse not to follow Jesus. You know, he wanted to keep his options open and be where he was interested. And there's no doubt, right, that he liked Jesus, right? I'm sure he wanted Jesus to be his master. But guess what? He liked his family too, and he liked all the activities that came with it. And that's why Jesus clearly pointed out he's like a distracted disciple who gets really excited and devoted for a while. And guess what? You may not see him for a while after that. He may serve, you know, full on, wholeheartedly, but after that, he just drops out. And he's involved with some other matter. And, you know, we realize, yes, there are a lot of different things that we have to do in our lives. We've got to take care of families. We've got to take care of jobs and all these other things. But I think first and foremost, we should put the Lord first. When we say, Father, I'm doing it for you. Because if you know it is your calling, what God has called you to do, that's what I'm talking about. You know this is what your calling is. I think we should say, Lord, this is my first priority. Because if you do, yeah, God is not only going to take care of your other situations, he's going to bless the other situations. He's going to turn it around so that, you know what, you're going to give 100% to serve him. Amen to that. I want you to look at that scripture here in Matthew 16, 24 to 26. I want you to read that with me. Ready? Go. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way. Take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Yeah, because our soul, our spirit will be forever with Christ, right? And we know another translation, you know, says you must deny yourself. This translation, NLT, says you must give up your own way. In other words, it's not your way. It's got to be God's way. And if you do it God's way, you know, first of all, you will have your eternity secure. If you know your heart belongs to Christ, you don't have to worry whether or not you are saved. If you know you're giving your very best to the Lord knows this. And you know that you're going to be forever with Christ. But let's be honest here. You know what? Even some Christians, they have great difficulty surrendering their lives fully to Jesus. And, you know, just imagine this. It's as if, right, Jesus was once the driver of your vehicle, right? You know, just imagine wherever he went, wherever he drove, right? You never questioned him. You know, just think about it as a little child. If I was like an 8-year-old, I was with my dad, you know, my dad said, get in the car, boy. And I go, okay. And imagine if I say, Henry, to the shopping mall. Imagine, what would he say? He say, what's wrong with you, boy, right? And I don't question him. He says, okay, we're going to go here. Okay? I don't question him, right? So it is with our Father God. We should not be questioning him. If he says, go here, go there, we should say, yes, Lord. Okay, wherever you want to go. But imagine, okay, Jesus, he's the driver, okay? But then as time went on, you know, you decided, okay, I'm old enough to drive. I can drive too, you know. Right? Just imagine this. And we decided, okay, now I'm going to take the wheel. And now Jesus is in the front passenger seat, you know, just like how Benson, now he drives, right? And I let him drive all the time because I just like to kick back, you know. But the thing is, right, you know, just imagine now, you know, Jesus is in the front passenger seat. And the thing is, right, Jesus, he can still give you guidance. He can give you direction. He can speak, you know, to you and tell you, okay, don't go there, go here, right? But guess what? Who's got the wheel? You do. And it's really up to you whether or not you want to follow him. Because, yeah, he can tell you, oh, don't go there. Don't go here. It's really up to you, right? Because you got the wheel. But here's the thing. As time continues on, Jesus, now, suddenly, you're telling him, Jesus, can you go in the back seat now? Think about that. The back seat of the car. Can you still hear him? Yeah, there's people called backseat drivers, right? and you can still hear him, right? But his voice has become more and more faint now. as you give more attention to whoever or whatever is in your front seat. Because you know what? You're telling Jesus to go in the back seat because somebody else has taken his place. Or something has taken his place. Can you imagine that? And Jesus may be saying, child, you should be going here. But you're too distracted with what the other person is saying next to you. Then, you know, the very worst can happen. Just imagine this. As time progresses, imagine the Christian asking Jesus, Jesus, you know, our car is pretty packed now. Would you mind staying in the trunk of my car? You could say, Jesus, I'm going to make it very comfortable for you. I got a pillow, a nice fluffy pillow, a very warm blanket for you, Lord. I'm going to make you as comfortable as possible. Will you just stay in the trunk? Can you imagine how grieved the Holy Spirit will be when a believer asks Jesus to go in the trunk of his car? Here's the thing I want you to understand. For a Christian who does this, right? The Christian, here's the thing. They still want to continue to be identified with Christ because, you know, they could have just stopped going to church, right? And they'll only attend church when their schedule permits. And they will only continue to give their monetary offerings to the church. Guess what? To indicate that they are still connected to Christ. And we see it. And I know it happens, right? And people do this because you say, you know, I'm still a Christian because I still give to the church. I'm still a Christian because you know, I'll go to church every now and then because I'm a busy person. And I gotta say how this may be grieving, so grieving to the Holy Spirit, because he loves us. He wants to be in fellowship with us. Yet we're putting our priorities on someone else or something else. And I'm going to say it grieves the Holy Spirit. I'm going to tell you too, I've done this where I thought, okay, I'm still giving money to the church. I'm still a Christian. I'm still a believer. But I realize, man, I'm hurting the Holy Spirit because I don't really have a true affection for him.